All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you would make your way to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4 will be our text as we finish up our last message on missions. If you're visiting with us tonight, you caught us at the end of our missions month. This is the month of September when we set aside as a local New Testament church and see what we are going to be able to do in spreading the gospel around the world. Our church supports about 65 different missionaries. I was going to let the church know that I know of at least 5 missionaries that we'd like to take on coming up here after our missions conference. And so that would be an extra $750 a month. I'm asking God to at least allow our faith promise to increase by that amount, if not more. But we sure would like to be able to get these people to the field. I have one lady coming in October. She's a single lady. And man, I met her and God just smote my heart and said, you got to have this lady come and be part of the service. So there's some others that will come in throughout the year. But I'm asking God to be able to do that. I don't know what you do for Faith Promise on a monthly level, but we support all our missionaries, most of them, 90%, at $150 a month. So if your faith promise equals $150 a month, I think that you could be blessed and satisfied to know that God is using you to support one missionary from our church. I tried to measure that out as to what that would be, but I don't think I brought that. But just so you kind of know the figures, some of our missionaries we support at $200 a month, that different areas, different fields, and so on, but a minimum of that in being involved in the Faith Promise missionary giving. We've preached 3 messages. I didn't get the third one done today. By the way, is Brother Neely here? And he didn't make it. I offended him calling him 175, didn't I? I've been burdened by that all day. I thought, Tom, why did you say that, you know? I even prayed God not let me say what I shouldn't say. So he gave a marvelous testimony today. Just to see God provide for that. Beg my forgiveness from him tonight and tell him I am so sorry. I got pictures of she bears coming out of the woods on me, you know, like they did to Elisha, and I didn't want that to happen. And so I wanted to apologize for that. Missions mind, a missions heart, and then we talked about a missions promise. We left and we were in 2 Corinthians this morning, and those 2 promises, the sowing and reaping promise, and then you also have the sufficiency promise. The third promise that I wanted to give you tonight, just quickly, is located in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul. Philippians is one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote this epistle from a Roman jail. Philippi, where this little church is in the region of Macedonia. Now, to help you with your contextualizing of the passage here, you remember that Paul went to Macedonia after he had been at Corinth. And the church at Corinth he had preached missions to, and they had a fervency and a zeal to participate in that. And he goes over here to Macedonia, and he's teaching missions, I really believe, to the church at Philippi. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 is this church and the response of this awesome church that he's at. And so you remember earlier, this morning, he said to Corinth, now, when I leave Macedonia, I'm coming your direction. And so in Philippians, he's left Macedonia and he's made his travels and he's now finds himself in a Roman prison and he's writing back to the church at Philippi. And so he was always in contact with these churches. And the book of Philippians is known as the joy book. If you need joy, you need to read the book of Philippians. There's 4 thieves that are mentioned in the book of Philippians that would steal your joy. There's the thief of circumstance. There's the thief of people, the thief of things, and the thief of worry. Circumstance, people, things, and worry are all things that will rob you of your joy. Obviously, the little church at Philippi, they must have been suffering a little bit, even though they were great and strong here. They were struggling in the area of joy. And so Paul knew they were having some affliction and some problem, and he's addressing, now guys, don't let circumstances rob you of your joy, because Christ is greater than your circumstance, and don't let people rob you from your joy, and don't let things and worry. And he's trying to help them and encourage them along those lines. And then as he comes down to verse number 15 of chapter number 4, he's concluding the book. And in the conclusion of the book, he begins to thank the church at Philippi. And he thanks the church at Philippi for their communication to him. Verse 15, you see that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So remember now, he's in Macedonia earlier, and he's sharing them the burden for the little mission churches in Jerusalem. Now that he's left Macedonia, and while he was gone, the church not only sent money for the missions there, but they sent money to the missionary. So they sent money to the work and to the church, but they must have communicated with the Apostle Paul a couple of times concerning giving and receiving. For he mentions in verse number 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now, I appreciate that. Let me just share with you a little bit so you understand how our church is ordered. Whatever comes in at this amount right here, let's just say this came in roughly at $200,000. If it came in at $200,000, well, it's 80% of $200,000, $160,000. What we do in leadership here is we take $160,000 of that, and we would commit that to what we would have considered monthly support for the missionaries. So 80% of our number gets committed to monthly support, and they get a check from Plantation Baptist Church. 20% of that money we keep it here at the church for missionary necessity. We get it right here from this verse. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity." You would be amazed how many times a missionary calls me and says, "Pastor Hunter, I need tires on my vehicle. Pastor Hunter, our church needs a sound system. Pastor Hunter, our church needs this. Pastor Hunter, our family needs this." And so out of that little bit of money that we keep, we're able to send to their necessity. And it's just a wonderful privilege and a blessed joy to be able to do that. And you should hear, it really is a sobering thing when a missionary calls you and says, "Pastor, we've lost $700 a month out of our support. We're doing all we can, but our air conditioner's out, and we're down here in 100-degree heat, and we need help." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't always come ask you. I just help them because I believe that's what we should do. You help them. And so we do that. And the men know about that, and the deacons know about that, and we send the money down there, and we're able to be a blessing. This little church at Philippi sent money to the Apostle Paul time and time again when he needed it for his own personal and for the ministry. Now, Paul's thanking them in verse number 17, not because I desire a gift. Paul was an honest man. He wasn't trying just to build his own coffers. "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul understood that giving was a grace. Paul understood that as they gave, God was going to give back to them. Paul understood that as they sowed their investment, they were going to reap a fruit. And so Paul said, I look at you, Philippi, and I want to commend you, and I want to encourage you what you're doing. Not because I'm getting the money, but I'm encouraging you because you're putting yourself in a position to receive the blessing of God, and fruit is going to abound to your account. Verse 18, Paul describes himself, "But I have all and abound. I am full." Speaking of what their gift did to him, "having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to" who? to God. So Paul says, you sent me a gift, a financial gift, and I want you to know that thing smelled good to God. Think about that. He said God went, oh yeah, that smells real good. He was pleased with that. And Paul says, I know that God is pleased. And by the way, I'm glad that God sees every act of giving that we do. Because some of you give and I don't know about it. Some of you give and people never will know about it. Some give anonymous, and some don't just give money. Some give time. Some give of your abilities or whatever. And I know we're constantly giving, and sometimes other people may not know it, but God sees it. And the Bible says that God was well pleased in that. Now, verse number 19 is a marvelous and powerful verse. It is a promise that Paul gives under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And in verse number 19, he says, after they've sent their gift, and he understood that they were in deep poverty, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he understood the affliction they were going through, and they kept sending it. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so he gives this, what I call the third missions promise from the instruction of the Apostle Paul on the area of supply. And so he's promising them that God's going to supply their need. Now let's talk a little bit about need. All of us have need. Part of growing spiritually, and I really mean the depth of growing spiritually, that will take you to a level from just sitting in the pew to an awesome level of knowing the power of God in your life, is learning how to be comfortable with needs. You've got to learn how to not be afraid of need. You've got to learn how to be comfortable with need. You have to understand that need is vital in our lives. It is important. It's part of growing in the Lord. It's part of developing. We spend our lives trying to make sure that we have need of nothing. And by the way, that was one of the rebuke of the end churches in the book of Revelation, that they were full and they had need of nothing. So our mind and our human concentration says, I've got to kind of protect myself from all need. But God really and truthfully does desire for you to have need. Well, praise the Lord, God, because he's doing a good job for me tonight. Most of us get scared out of our mind when we have a need. And we hate need. We see it as incomplete. We see it as dangerous and destroying. We see it as having the binding upon our lives. We see it as not being free. Need may not let me express or fulfill some of the desires that I have. And so it becomes real restricting, and while it's restricting me, it can become tremendously frustrating with me, and I get to the point where I don't like need, and so I don't want any need to arise, and I sure don't want to put myself in any position where I have to have a need. I just want to try to find this common ground where I can just exist and have everything I need met and no extenuating needs. God's not going to let you exist without need, and you're going to be a weak Christian your whole life if you don't get comfortable with need. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm comfortable with need or not? Okay, very easy. Is the first thing you do complain or the first thing you do thank God? That's how you know if you're comfortable. If the first thing I do is I panic and I complain and I recoil almost because I've got this need, then I know that I don't understand the importance of it. But if I look at that need and the first thing I do is I lift up my hands and I say, okay, God, I've got this need. Thank you. And I worship you and I submit to you. And I understand that you brought this need into my life. And now I understand what this need is able to do. Now, let me explain something to you. Here's what need does for you. Need enables you to see the power of God in your life. It enables you to understand that there's none greater than our God. It enables for the miracle hand of God to be displayed in my life. And so many times as believers, we want to keep ourselves from any kind of need. And the whole time God is saying, I want you to have a need. Why does God want you to have a need? I'm going to use Ed Flynn to explain this to you. Here's where God's mind is on need. And Brother Ed, God used you to teach it to me. And the devil used you to let me eat that Italian sausage that we ate together. But God used you to teach me about this need. That thing was wicked in and of itself. Anyway, Brother Ed and Monica and some of the others, they have been purchasing and caring for the need closet back here. And we've been giving away some food. Well, they keep coming with the bags and the bags and the bags. And every once in a while, Brother Ed will come to me and Brother Ed will say, Pastor, have you looked in the closet lately? And I'll say, no, Brother Ed, I haven't been able to. He said, it's getting pretty full. And he says, I have no place to put any of this other stuff. We need to start giving some of this away. Here's what God does. God says, man, I've got all this supply. Look at it. According to his riches in where? Come on, where? Glory. You should pay me extra for this message tonight because it's going to help you. According to your riches in glory. And God says, I've got all this supply in glory. I've got to get rid of this supply. See, most of us think that all God does is responds to our needs. And so God sees, okay, here's a need, and so I can fill it from the bank of heaven. No. God doesn't think from the origin of need. God thinks from the origin of supply. God doesn't have any needs. So God has all this supply. And he says, now I want to get some of this in Tom's life. I got to create a need for Tom. And so then God will allow me to go into a need so he can take the supply and give it. The first thing I do when Brother Ed comes to me and says, Pastor, we got to give some of this away, I start looking for needy people. First thing God does in our lives, he says, I got all this supply, so I'm looking to take the supply and to open up some needs so I can fill it. Most of us, we think, oh God, please, no, not need. I don't want need. No. And God's standing here with all of this supply saying, wow, I have all this for you. And you won't. You won't trust me for the need. I think about that and I think, I wonder what I've missed out on in life because I didn't submit to the direction of God when he provided need in me. See, think about your need tonight. What is your need? I don't care if it's money or whatever it is. God has all the supply to meet all of our needs. And he's looking to disperse that. Don't you read those verses in the Bible where it says that God is looking for somebody? He's looking for those that want to allow him to show himself great. He's always out looking where he can invest his supply. Let me tell you something. God needs to move his supply. And he wants to move his wealth and move his resources. And he wants to do it in through the church. And he wants to move it into our lives. And then we move it around and put it out to the good work we learned this morning. And so God will allow need. And most of God's people, we hate need when we ought to love need. When we ought to love need. And so Paul looks at this little church and he says, now I understand you got needs. And by the way, as much as they were giving, their giving was creating a need. They didn't have a lot. So as they were giving and giving, need was arising. And Paul says, now I see you're giving and needs are, and God's going to keep supplying that need. And he's going to keep. Now when you get there, God's going to have more. And it goes on to talk about the need. And so my God shall supply all your need. If you've seen God supply a need for you recently, say amen. Yeah. We got to become familiar with it. We've got to understand that need is our good friend. He's our good friend. The direction of this promise is to those people now that are involved in giving and in giving to the missionary. These are people that are giving. This promise is written and directed toward givers. It's not written and directed toward takers or those or people that don't give. He's talking about people that are giving is the direction. The dynamic of this promise is the power of God, the unlimited power of God. My God shall supply according to his riches. I don't know if you know this or not, but God's rich. He's rich. Mr. Romney has nothing on God. I saw on Fox News that Bill Gates and what's the other old guy? Warren Buffett, two billionaires. Let me tell you something. They don't have a drop in the bucket compared to Jesus Christ. They don't. And God says, I'll supply according to my riches. Then you have, what is the dimension of this promise? All your need. All my need, Pastor? All your need. Well, Pastor, I need whatever goes into that blank. God is able to supply that need. And the disposition of that is according to Christ Jesus. The Lord is the present deliverer of that need. It's according to him. This is a promise that God gives to us. How personal, how positive, how provident, what plenitude, what presence is all in this verse. Now, Pastor, why are you teaching this when it comes to missions? Because your faith promise missionary giving will and should create a need. Say that again. That was really good. I want you to hear it again. Your faith promise missionary giving will and should create a need. The name of it is faith. Faith. Not what fits, not what affords, faith, promise. So if you honestly are praying over your card, if it takes $5, $10, $15, whatever to be faith, God's going to give you a number that is going to make a need. If you can look at your faith promise and you don't miss it, that questions me. You ought to think, is this really by faith? Boy, the missionary preached a good message last week. He said, did your life require faith? Does your sacrifice require faith? And does your service require faith? Now, I know it's awful quiet in here, and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure that I really, that my faith promise creates a need. Okay, Pastor, why would you say that? Because until or unless there is a need, you're never going to know the supply of Jesus Christ. So if you can just afford it, then God says, you don't need me. But when that comes to the position of faith and need is created, then God says, okay, I'll give you $22,000 worth of medicine. Amen? Yeah. So, Pastor, what do you do? Let me tell you something. My faith promise creates a need in my life. I look at that and I think, man, I could have a nice ocean boat if I didn't do that. Or, man, we could do this, we could do that. And then I stop and I think, what am I doing? What am I doing? Look what all God has given to me and done for me, how he's blessed me. My faith promise bothers me. Now, if you're dishonest in understanding your preacher, then you're gonna suffer in this. I've told you from the beginning, pray. God, what do you want me to do? God will direct you. I promise you it will create a need. And Paul says, but God's able to supply that need. If you will live like that, you will see things that God can do for you that you never dreamed possible. Not everybody does live like that. But those people that see God at his best are people that have need. Now let's talk about need real quick in other areas. Not only in faith promise, but whatever need it is. When you come into a need, the first thing you need to understand is, God, thank you for this need. God, only you have the supply for this need. You, God, there cannot exist a need in my life that's bigger than you. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know how it's ever going to get resolved. I don't know how it's going to get fixed. I don't know how it's going to get met, except I know that you're going to do it. So I praise you for this, and I need you, and I surrender this to you. Get used to need. Think about your life. Do I have needs? Do I even need God in my life? Oh, yeah, we all need God in our lives, Pastor. Give me a specific. Not out loud right now, but think a second. Where do you specifically need God right now? Well, my wife needs God. Well, all our wives need God. Let's get our need. Where do you specifically need God? I mean, something that you literally are prostrate on the ground, weeping and praying, God, I've got this need in my life. Pastor, I don't know that I've got. Oh, I know, Pastor. God's already met all my needs. No, that's not how God works. Because in 2 Corinthians, it was a cycle. And so once God meets a need, God's going to create another one. Because the food bank gets full and he's got to give it away. So he creates the need, and he creates the need, and he creates the need. Man, I love God's word. So powerful. Makes us think. I hate to think and love to think all at the same time. You know what they say about bald guys, right? If you're bald up here, you're a thinker. If you're bald back here, you're a lover. If you're bald in both of them, you're just perfect. Let's pray. Let's go home.